Oh, man. That loss really hurt. It's not over, but that loss hurt. And I got a buddy that texted me in the last few minutes, and he said he felt the point a bunch of us made here on the show earlier about. James, you initially made it about how a head coach just wears regular clothes now.
That was Rhea.
Rhea made it,
yeah. Great point.
So you got regular clothes, you know.
You can't pick them out on the sidelines sometimes.
It's hard. You know, like, I'm looking at one shot where there's a fan standing right next to Nick Nurse during the whole sequence. Like, there's a fan who, by the way, has the same color shirt on as
Nick
Nurse.
And that's the point is, if these guys are now going to wear just the casual clothes, I get it. Could you have something that kind of stands like that you're the coach?
Like a coach badge or something.
Yeah, or just red.
Here's what I propose. The Phillies City Connect jerseys.
No, dress them up like masked singers.
Well, that's so. That City Connect jerseys or what Jay – I can't believe we're even making a joke right now because this has been such
a we've had to.
Show.
It's been a rough morning.
But JT's yellow chest protector.
Hear about this. How about this?
I love that.
What about his Nick Nurse hat, his double N hat that you hate? You could rock that.
Double N? Well, I'm not in the mood. I'm not in the mood. Let's go to the phones. Really a just horrible loss last night. Tom in Middletown. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, crew.
Hi, Tom.
Hello.
Floor is yours, sir.
Listen, this is Joe. This is toward you. This is a pep up talk.
Okay.
And with all due respect, I'm going to make a comment.
Okay.
Mental stress causes physical fatigue. That's not an opinion. That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You could see it with Embiid. He is stressed over his injury, and he's wearing down a lot faster than he should be. And Joe, your energy level is zapped today because of your mental stress.
You're right. I don't disagree. Look, I thought I sustained for 3 hours, but now I'm feeling a lag. I'm like Joel. I'll just cruise into the end.
Cruising, Joe. He was limping.
No, he was.
He was limping.
Yeah. I have a pep-up solution for you, Joe.
Yeah. How about this? How about the Sixers win a game? That's my pep-up solution. Go win win 16. But go ahead. What's your solution?
I want you to forget about the first two games. On your next break, I want you to go listen to Rocky's speech to his son.
Tomorrow. Thursday. Not today.
Okay. I need that energy level back up, man.
Tom, there are days, there are times, there are moments, and there are the opposite. We'll get to that.
Well, just remember, man, mental stress causes physical fatigue.
I hear you, man. I know. I mean, we all know how you...
He wants to fatigue himself a little.
Yeah, I'm not... that's right. I'm not...
He wants to suffer with this.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, don't just come out of it that
we
quick.
We are trying to sort through the mess.
We are. I mean, we got a team filing a complaint with the league, you know? Like, this isn't like, let's just get to game three. Like, come on now.
A lot.
But I will say this. I say with great energy. You want energy? Here you go. Here's energy. I'll go into the – what was the guy, the crazy professor in – I'm forgetting his name, the comedian, Sam Kinison, professor in Back to School. Let me tell you, it's not over. It's not over. It's actually not over. They're in a tough spot.
It is not over.
It's not over. They are.
And I'm not kidding.
You're
not kidding.
I'm not kidding.
We are not kidding.
Yeah.
That's good.
Now,
okay.
Now the odds are obviously stacked against them. That is clear. But I do believe they could still win this, but the odds are certainly
stacked
against them.
It's going to feel completely different when we have – I'm not even going to say it.
What?
Things will change. Things will feel different with a home game.
A home game, things will feel different.
After that experience, the second home game will feel different in anticipation.
Yep.
And, you know, I think that'll go a certain way also.
James, let me ask you a question. This isn't a Sixers thing. I want to be very clear. The Sixers are the least culpable of any NBA team to be on the road this postseason because their best player missed a huge chunk of time, basically missed half the season. And that's why they were a 7 seed instead of a 2 seed or a 3 seed or whatever. Okay. James, will NBA star players and lesser players start realizing the importance of trying their hardest in the regular season to get home court advantage in playoffs? Because they really haven't given a rat's hiney for like 4 or 5 years.
Well, they played more games this year. Like all of them.
I know they did.
Like, you know, the 65 game thing or whatever it did make a difference. Like, all these guys played a lot more games than they normally do and beat out a real injury.
You think the Phoenix Suns tried their hardest this year? The answer is no.
No.
They didn't. They didn't try their hardest.
Joe, I think Buddy Hield played all 82. How do you feel about that?
I could have used
Didn't
two.
Play, I thought he played 83.
Yeah, 84 or something like that.
Yeah, he played more.
Yeah, it's just, all right, let's go to Justin. Good morning, Justin.
How's everybody doing this morning? I know it's kind of an irrelevant question.
What do you got, Justin?
Yeah, so just a couple of things for you. The people who've been talking about Joel, right, the biggest thing for me is that his mannerisms are much better. I know people are saying he's got to do more, this, that, and the third, but the guy is he's either hurt or he's partially hurt. So if you want to criticize him for anything, maybe just simplify your game a little bit until you have 100% confidence in that knee. He's still out there trying to do moves when he's, you know, used to doing that at 100%, and he's not doing it.
No question. And by the way, that's part of why he's shooting as many jump shots as he is. He's clearly trying to limit the gallops to the basket, and he probably should limit the gallops to the basket. I actually thought he played I'll call it a fairly smart game last night. But I will say this, Justin, his lack of defense and rebounding down the stretch hurt them. And maybe it's unavoidable. I mean, maybe it's just it is what it is. But it did hurt them. Like, if he could have given them more on that end, the Sixers would have won. Maybe he just couldn't give any more.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to talk about Nick real quick, because I really think that this is a big deal. Like, I've been coaching basketball for 18 years at every level, right? And we talk about Nick calling that timeout, and now you're talking about them following a grievance. Like, if that's the case, like, Nick should be on the court. Actually, I know you're not supposed to go out on the court.
They don't care.
No. Go on the court more. They don't care. Even the ref that just called in told you that. It's a lack of identity with them right now. Think about Villanova and the boys on the other side of the court. They have an identity through playing for Jay Wright, and they're playing with that identity. Dean Smith and Roy Williams at Carolina, they don't call timeouts at the end of the game. They believe in letting them play.
Well, Justin, we
didn't know what we were doing.
Let me give you one other Jay point, because not everyone may not know this, but, man, I saw it and I heard it. Jay was hard on officials. I mean, you can't find a bigger discrepancy between nice guy and riding officials. Now, I'm not saying he was Bobby Knight abusive, but, man, Jay was tough, and it makes a difference. There's a reason nice guys act that way. You're trying to buy every call you can by the end of a game. And, you know, I can't say – because I don't know, you know, Nick Nurse's tendency. I mean, I'll have to see it more and actually be down there around the, you know, it's hard where I sit when I go to Sixers games to hear, you know, Nick Nurse. But, you know, Jay was a master at working the refs, and that stuff matters. It really does. Let's go to Josh. He's calling from Manion. Good morning, Josh.
Boys, I mean, I got to be honest with you. I was texting about the Texas buddy with 47 seconds left when Kyle Lowry was going to the line, and I was about to say it's over, but I didn't want to jinx it. And boy, it was painful.
Well, Josh, you know what it's a lot like now with much lesser circumstances? It's like when the Spurs blew Game 6 versus Miami in 2000 and what,
the 12? Ray Allen shot,
13, whatever year it was,
Yeah, but I mean, it was
a 5-point lead with 18 seconds left, and there was a brick LeBron 3 before they got the ball back for the LeBron make. And then, obviously, you know, they missed free throw, whatever the hell it was. And then the missed shot, then the Bosch rebound, then the Ray Allen shot. Anyway, go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, but, I mean, it comes down to this. Guys, we had two guys that scored in double digits last night. They had five. I mean, if you look at that as a whole, and they're getting rebounds, and they're after it, man. They wanted it. And it, to me, that's what was turning. You know, you got to have guys. Rebounding is about effort. And they had it down the stretch. What, they had five or six rebounds late? Like, we didn't have one. I mean,
Sixers did a much better job for most of the game with energy and rebounding, but it fell apart again at the end.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, it's hard to believe, like, Joel's taking a 25-footer for the win. Come on. Like, you can't have that. Like, we were in a group chat. One of the doctors was like, get him on the post. I'm sitting there going, I don't think it's going to happen, you know? And but the shot that I had at the end, you know, that just shows a tired, frustrated bunch, if you ask me.
Do you know how many rebounds Josh Hart had last night?
Let me guess. I'll guess 13.
15 of them.
And he's 6'5",
Jim. I didn't realize it was 15. Yeah. I mean, I knew he was mixing it up and getting in there, but man, that says a lot.
No, it does. And DiVincenzo, like, those guys are very spry.
Active. And just, like, all over it. I mean, DiVincenzo, like, oh. I just kept wanting, like, on defense, he is, like, all up in guys' grill, and he's moving constantly, yeah. And, like, he's back and forth, and this and that. Like, you think about Embiid, like, slow, and I get it, he's way bigger, but, like, slowly back and forth, and the limping, and this. And you see DiVincenzo just flying around like a psycho out there. It's just a different energy with that.
I've always admired players that get the most out of their skill set. That's why I liked Eric Snow. A lot of people got frustrated with Eric Snow, but, like, give me maximum effort, do the best you can. You know, you might not win, you might not win at all, but give me everything you got. George Lynch gave you everything he had. Tyrone Hill gave you everything he had. I mean, Allen Iverson gave you everything he had. Didn't practice with all the right, you know, habits, but those guys gave you everything they had. And listen, I want to be clear. I thought a lot of the Sixers played very hard last night. The offensive ills, I think, have less to do with effort and more to do with, call it lack of skill and fear. Fear. Like, there's no doubt in my mind, John, Buddy Hield is playing scared basketball right now.
Yeah.
He's playing scared.
It's too big for him. You know, like, he's never been there. He's never done it. And it's just like he wants to defer to everyone else to do it first. And you just can't have that. You can't have that mindset. It's the same game you've played your whole life.
I've seen it a lot in the NBA playoffs. You see in the NBA playoffs, I think more than any other sport, where guys wilt. When the lights get brightest, they wilt. And we're seeing it with him. Look, we saw it with Rojas last year in the playoffs. Now, to his credit, he was a much younger guy, and I don't think they should have kept going back to him. You know, I think you spin a wheel and pick someone else. But, you know, brutal. Brutal with a guy like Hield, who's, I think, in, like, his eighth or ninth year. I mean, he was in the Final Four in 2016, and so this is like his eighth or ninth year in pro basketball. Like, I need you to be more tough-minded, my man. And I need you to make a shot. Make a shot.
And by the way, we've got a guy sitting on the bench in campaign. Let's try to work him in there because I know he's not afraid. Campaign for everything that he is. He's not a great defender because he doesn't have the length that you're looking for and all that. But the guy's bold. The guy is fearless. He's going to go out there and he's going to shoot. And it's going to look all weird.
Yeah, I know.
But, man, he's... It doesn't faze them.
All right, coming up in 1 minute, our results to these polls on all these topics related to last night's game. That's coming up in 1 minute time. Hey, let me tell you about PI Dental Center. With their decades of experience in complex dental treatment, you know, if your heart got broken last night with that loss, well, they can't fix that. But what they certainly can fix is everything going on in your mouth, you know, your teeth. I've been a patient at PI Dental now for 2 decades. My mom, a patient for 3 decades, with Dr. Glenn Wolfinger and Dr. Robert Slough, both sensational at what they do. Board-certified prosthodontists. They specialize in the restoration and the replacement of teeth. PI Dental Center are also the originators of the Teeth in a Day. That's a revolutionary treatment that delivers fixed teeth and implants placed for a dramatic transformation in just 1 day. So I strongly encourage you, whether it's year-to-year maintenance, and that's the category I've always been in, hope to stay in that category my whole life, you know, you get there. Make sure you get your checkup, so to speak. Make sure things are good. Hey, PI Dental Center can do that for you. But if you have a huge problem and you need a big solution, they can provide that solution for you as well. Get yourself to PI Dental Center, PIDentalCenter.com. Visit PIDentalCenter.com to request your new patient evaluation. All right, 215-592-9494 to weigh in on all the topics today. Obviously, we have really not done anything on the Phillies or Eagles today. We'll bring them back into focus tomorrow. Great job by Ranger yesterday. Phillies rolling on now with 7 wins in a row. Eagles incredibly with the draft in 2 days. James, I would say a draft that has garnered less attention in the lead up to it than any draft I can remember in our lives.
I would say not just that, but I would say by a lot. Right. Like, I don't even remember what number 2 is in terms of this little hype or excitement or talk about
this. Will be like the draft that never happened.
Yeah, what a good way to put it. Yeah.
Look, we'll try 2 more days, and we'll see, you know, to what extent people are interested. And obviously Thursday will be a thing. But I'll tell you this, personally, Thursday, when both happen at the same time, Sixers game 3 and draft. Now, the good thing is the Sixers will be drafting really more after the Sixers.
The Eagles.
Eagles will be drafting after the Sixers game is over.
We hope.
Unless they move up, which is, you know. So that helps.
Unless they move up.
Yeah, unless they move up.
They're moving up.
Ooh. Oh, I think so, too.
Like the Jeffersons? Yeah.
Oh, they're moving on.
Moving
up.
On up.
Yes.
That's the last thing
Not
I can say about
side,
this.
But up to, I don't know, what, 15 maybe?
I don't know. I was going to start singing, but I got nothing. We'll see. All right, let's get to the Twitter. But anyway, we'll get into all that stuff more tomorrow on Thursday. Twitter poll question. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin, your Corvette headquarters. Visit ArminChevy.com to see Armin's selection of new and pre-owned Corvettes. Together, let's drive. First poll question, what's the biggest reason why the Sixers lost game two? John, I have the results here. What do you think won? The four choices in alphabetical order. Embiid wore down. No third player stepped up. Ref screwed the Sixers. Sixers lost composure.
I'm going to say refs.
That's correct.
Folk,
give me a percentage.
60%.
Not nearly. This thing's pretty split. 36% say the refs. 33% say no third player. 22% say Sixers lost composure. 9% say Embiid wore down. Hmm. All right, second poll question.
There was a lot going on.
There was a lot going on.
Wow.
Do you think Knicks Have More Heart would have won this poll?
Yes.
If we had put that in there?
Yes.
It might have won it. All right, second poll question. Which emotion do you feel most about the Sixers game two lost? Anger, bewilderment, disappointment, sadness. John, what do you think won?
Anger.
It does. With?
51.
38% say anger, 29% disappointment, 24% say bewilderment, which is ironic. I don't think James even knows what bewilderment means. It's a pretty high-level vocab word for a guy like you, James.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah, it's so.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
We're 3 hours and 18 minutes into the show.
Do we go inside baseball when you, like, hand me the polls and say, reword it for me?
Well, I do that from time to time. Did you have to reword this one? No.
No, it was good.
No. It was on point. And sadness got 9%. Let's talk to Mac right now, Northeast Philadelphia. Mac, I like your name. How are you, buddy?
Morning, team. I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener, James, John.
Hi, Mac. Thanks for calling us.
And Rhea, all of you.
Hold on a second, Mac. Why is it that Joe thinks your name is a good name, but he thinks everyone else's name is a...
Two reasons.
Like, you're so judgy with everyone else's name. Mac somehow slides by.
Two reasons. One, the Mac truck. Okay. Like, you're big, you're powerful, okay?
Yeah.
And two, Mac also works for the casual, sort of like the chief and the, like, yo, Mac. Like, yo, Jack.
That's
like,
true.
It's the casual, like, you don't actually have to be a Mac.
Mac, is this a nickname?
No, it's my middle name. Oh, listen, cool. Listen.
What do you got?
I respect all your comments, everything that was said this morning. What I dislike about the Sixers, what they're doing, and I'm a Philly fan. All four sports, all of them, even the soccer team. The thing is, we have to learn to position ourselves around the paint. We have to rotate the players. I like Ricky. I like Campaign. Bring those young legs in there. If the older guys or the vets are getting tired, then they need a break.
Look, they might get a shot. One of the big problems is they are not good defenders. You know, other than Jalen Brunson, and then when that backup guard gets in there for New York, you know, you don't want guys like that guarding anybody else. You certainly don't want them guarding, you know, Hart or DiVincenzo. And they have done a great job on the main guy for the Knicks, which is Brunson. So that's the conundrum. Now, look, Nick Nurse might pull that lever and say, we're giving it a shot because I'm done with Buddy Hield. He also might give Buddy Hield one more shot because it's a home game and hope he gets going in front of the home crowd with some different energy. I tend to think he'll give someone else a shot because I think we're at the point now where, and Matt, good call. John, do you think it would be more Campaign or Council if you're going to go to, you know, one more guy?
I'm excited to see what both can do. I mean, I don't know why you need to favor one over the other.
There's only so many minutes. I mean, it's probably one of the – I don't think both are going to get big run.
Well, it feels like Campaign has a lot more experience
to
offer.
I agree with that. Let's talk to Zach in Pottstown. Good morning, Zach.
Yo, boys.
Hi, Zach.
Long-time caller here, first-time listener. I want to talk about the guy that's skating by all this, and that's Daryl Morey. Let's talk about his moves this year that are not paying off. Buddy Hield, he traded Marcus Morris for him.
Yep.
Marcus Morris would be rebounding right now. He'd be defending. He'd be bringing toughness in the garden.
That's right.
We're missing that. Buddy Hield's becoming unplayable. So now we have one unplayable player. He traded Pat Beverly, who's starting for the 3-seed Bucks. for campaign who's playing grab ass with Jeff Dalton and Ricky Council on the bench and can't see a minute. That's two players that are unplayable. Paul Reed, you said it. He's a pinball. He just runs out there, bounces off people. He's 50 pounds underweight from Hartenstein and Mitchell Robinson. He's too small. We have no backup big for Embiid. On top of that, Morey signs Mo Bamba.